Out of reverence to Christ and in a rehearsal of the resurrection, I invite you to please rise for the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us, then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give, therefore, to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, we learn in today's Gospel right away that if you're looking to trap somebody, to lay a trap that catches them in their words, start with politics. Jesus, do you condemn Jewish supremacy? Jesus, will you pack the Sanhedrin court? Jesus, should you pay taxes to Caesar? This confrontation takes place in the temple, the very place where the power of Caesar and the holiness of God crackle with tension among the people. There's finally a bipartisan agenda as the Pharisees and the Herodians come together for the first time to lay this trap. And they begin with false flattery. "Jesus, we know you are sincere and truthful and impartial to all people. Tell us then what you think." You have the Herodians. They're connected to King Herod. So these are the incumbent mainline group of leaders. They're trying to trap Jesus in a seditious, anti-Roman, anti-tax, anti-national position. If he, Jesus, refuses to pay tax and teaches us to do the same, he is an enemy of the state, and the trap is sprung. On the other side, but now united with them, we have the Pharisees, the religious renewal movement of the time, trying to trap Jesus instead in a blasphemous, anti-God, or at least compromising position. We have Caesar is Lord and God is Lord, and we kind of have two lords and we can do both. But Jesus is aware of the malice of these enemies who now became friends in laying this trap. Jesus says, "Well, show me this coin." So they bring him this coin, and then on the coin they see what we now know has a picture of Tiberius Caesar, the emperor of that day. And the coin would read, "Tiberius Caesar, august and divine son of Augustus." Divine son of Augustus. So the very money in the hands of the people trying to trap Jesus is in the image of someone claiming lordship and to be the divine son of God. No wonder Jesus called them hypocrites if they put this in their own hands. Now, of course, then he tells them, "Well, whose head is this?" "Well, this is Caesar's head." "Okay, well, give Caesar back his stuff. But give God what belongs to God." Or as the old King James says, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's." So they're amazed and they go away, but the question remains open. What exactly does it mean to render unto Caesar and unto God? Are these mutually exclusive parties? So for example, are the things that I render to Caesar no longer available to be rendered to God? So you have to choose, like perhaps with Caesar, I'm in a certain tax bracket, and then with God, I choose to give a certain amount, and then here's what's left for my own use. Is this how it works? And what does it mean in 2020? What does it mean to render unto God anything when everything has become political? When we are rendering everything to Caesar, where there is nothing under heaven, nothing under the sun that has not been or is not being politicized. When you can't watch sports or go shopping or go to church or get through a global pandemic without it being confronted by political messaging and spin. Render unto Caesar. Caesar's hands are everywhere. What's left to render unto God? Surrender to Caesar is the message we receive from all sides. Surrender to the spirit of Caesar, who crowds out faithfulness to God. So in the New Testament times, this meant keeping the peace with Rome. Okay? So Rome would say, you can keep your temple, you can keep your worship, and you can keep your festivals like this Passover festival at which Jesus and the disciples are in the temple to celebrate. You can keep these festivals in this temple so long as you understand not to cross Caesar. These freedoms can be taken away at any time by the emperor. In other words, the freedom to render unto God what is God's is derived from the mercy of Caesar. And so you have the people of God, Israel, left paying taxes that supported the army that was occupying their country. Well, what about our day? The United States is familiar with disagreements around paying taxes. And this is our origin story. No taxation without representation. And now, many generations later, we have representation. And over time, this has extended as a basic right to all American adults, not without some notable exceptions. But the trap for today is not so much figuring out what to render to Caesar and what to render to God, or where to build the wall that separates church and state. Rather, the spirit of our age presents a basic choice between Caesars. Because we know it won't be difficult for us to claim God's endorsement of whatever form of Caesar you choose. And so while we, each and every one of us, are tempted, and in fact fall, to surrender to the spirit of Caesar, Christ is rendered to a cross. Surrendered to Caesar, the people render Christ to the cross. And this, in fact, is the only trap Jesus willingly surrenders himself to. He will not be trapped in debates in the temple courts. He will leave the crowd dumbfounded and the leaders walking away. But he will let the trap be laid for himself, leading to the cross. This is Jesus' life rent in order to redeem us. The trap set for him now turned back upon the Herodians, the Pharisees, the Romans, the Jews, the Gentiles, the disciples, and the devil himself. Everyone who surrendered to Caesar's way of being in the world. Caesar's way of peace through war. Way of power through public shaming. And sometimes execution. The way of life through fleeing, denying, or dealing out death. But people of God, Jesus Christ rendered unto his Father perfect obedience for your sake. God's power in Christ is the power of forgiveness, the power of a word that creates new, a promise that overcomes political death wishes and death itself, that sees Jesus raised from the dead, to whom all authority in heaven and on earth has been rendered. Give to God what is God's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And most crucially, the people are the Lord's. For everyone has been made in the image of their Creator and is loved by God. Fleming Rutledge has noted that it's far easier to look for tax loopholes and pay the rest than it is to face up to what is owed to God. But thanks be to God in Christ, because rendering to God what is God's, rendering Christ on our behalf to the Father, this means that Caesar has no business living in your conscience. Caesar has no place in the royal seat of your heart. You are freed in Christ. You belong to Christ. Of course, every tax dollar you pay is going to be put to a variety of beneficial and blasphemous uses. Take heart. Jesus is your Lord. He sits on the throne in your heart. It is from God's generosity that we have all things, that Caesar has anything. It is from the generosity of God that we have received family, where life is to be produced, like this July when baby Jackson came into our world. The family in which life is produced and then flourished in society of families together. It's God's generosity which creates the church, in which God's mercy and justice and grace and love are published and republished over and over again so that new life and eternal life might flourish. And also, it is God's generosity to provide the state in which God's beloved creation can be protected from the fullest extent of human sin and misery, so that lawlessness might be punished, justice might be supported, and, for example, in our corner of creation, disaster, wildlife disaster relief might be provided. And there's one more rendering of God to us to consider this day as we close. Today, a young baby boy is going to be rendered unto God. Now, Justin, I know, Justin, it's been a few years since you were in confirmation in middle school up here. And there was more than one occasion where I had to render you to the hallway so the rest of us could have class, right? But I am so proud to see where God has led you in these years since middle school, high school, and since I've seen you. Your work as a chef, your creativity, and then your family now that is welcoming their firstborn child. I'm so thrilled in God for the blessings in your life and the blessing you are to your people. And today, Justin and Amanda are bringing their child Jackson to the waters of baptism to render unto God what is God's. Because you trust that just as you brought life in Jackson, so God, through Jesus Christ, has brought new life to this child and continues to give his blessedness, his righteousness, his peace to this little boy. And that because he is united to Christ in the waters of baptism, Jackson will certainly be rendered to the resurrection of all things. And we, together with him, our little baby brother in faith, will be rendered to the resurrection in Christ on that great and final day. So, my friends, whatever change you can pull out of your pocket, whosever image is on the coin, it matters not. Baptism is the watermark of the currency of heaven. Thanks be to God.